Good afternoon. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and distinguished lecturer emeritus at York College, City University of New York. I'm welcoming you to this December 28th. That's right, December 28th, third day of Kwanzaa Ujima. Well, it's also the coronavirus pandemic, unfortunately, edition. Our vantage point here on 99.5 FM. That's WBAI 99.5 FM on the Pacifica Network in collaboration with ycradio.org. That's right. Today is Ujima in the celebration of Kwanzaa, the seven principles, the third day, if you will. Well, we're going to be focusing on Haiti today, and actually for the next couple of weeks or so, celebrating the first Black Republic. Haiti celebrating the first Black Republic. We'll be joined very shortly by the Executive Director of Haitians United for LC Saint Louis, and we're going to be talking about Haiti a great deal today, but we're also going to be talking about the Nguzu Saba Kwanzaa and all that good stuff. First and foremost, we want you to be safe. We always stress and start the program off with that. We want you to be safe. And Ujima is a good expression for that. Collective work and responsibility. Can we collectively be responsible for each other? That is particularly true now when we have this coronavirus, the COVID is just spiraling out of control, in part because of the reckless and irresponsible criminal behavior of Agent Orange, who still is having temper tantrums and acting criminally. It's not just irresponsible, it's criminal, the way in which he is behaving. No leadership, which has really led to the death of literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people here in these United States of America. But beyond that, it is also our own personal behavior. We have been told time and time again to exercise certain health measures, wear a mask, social distance, and indeed wash your hands and do, you know, don't travel, don't go into large gatherings, all of these things. And people sort of, you know, even well-meaning people, oh, well, it won't hurt. I want to see my family. Well, it's not just about you. It's about you also infecting your family, others around you. But I keep asking people, please remember the people on the front lines in these hospitals and nursing homes. I mean, you hear the stories of they're just heroically putting their lives on the line. Ujima, collective work and responsibility, means that we care about them as well. And so we just want to continue to put that out there. And of course, we are delighted that the Institute of the Black World 21st Century, its Black Family Summit, has a Community Cares listening line, which indeed is being co-sponsored or at least supported by WBAI in a very, very important important way. That community line has been established so that people who are feeling anxiety, and I know anxiety is rampant out there. Tension is rampant out there in a lot of different ways. A lot of people want to know what to do about the vaccine. Well, you know, if you want to talk to somebody about that, you can call the Community Cares listening line, 877-327-6677. 877-327-6677 in order to get information about the vaccines, but also, you know, domestic abuse is on the rise, sexual harassment is on the rise, suicidal feelings and all of that is on the rise. I mean, it's a terrible time. And yet we have to have each other. You know, we have to lean on me, lean on each other. You know, that famous song that was out there. So we have to do that. And so what we have is social workers, psychiatrists, psychologists, administrators in child welfare, you know, Black social professional organizations who are there to listen, culturally appropriate listeners, to hear what you have to say, to listen and to give advice, particularly in terms of if you need specific services, they will send you to professional folk who have been vetted, who can help you in whatever way you want to be helped. 877-327-6677, the Community Cares, emphasize, Community Cares listening line is available to you. Compliments of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century's Black Family Summit, but also supported by this radio station, WBAI. Also, just want to quickly say that I'm focusing on Haiti for the next 2 or 3 weeks. Just 25 years since the founding of the Haiti Support Project in 1992. 25 years of extraordinary work. Had a conversation with Earl Maitland, who used to be on the staff of WBAI. He went with us to Haiti. Others, actually, several, two or three delegations, WBAI actually sent representatives to be with us as we went to Haiti. But, I mean, hundreds of people have gone to Haiti with us on different and doing different kinds of humanitarian and developmental and even mediation type work. So we very much are in a mode of celebrating this delegation that we took in June of 1995. Just woke up and say, look, I can't let this year go by without having some kind of commemoration. So if you go to the website, ibw21.org, ibw21.org, you will see that on this coming Wednesday, and you're invited to participate, we are going to have reflections on the 25th anniversary of the Haiti Support Project, a virtual celebration that you'll be able to participate in. We have people speaking on their experiences both here in the United States of America, as well as people who are going to be calling in from Haiti as well. So that'll be 1 o'clock to 1 to 2:30 on this coming Wednesday, if you will. I invite you to join in that. And you can go to the website right now, ibw21.org. I just checked it. The information is there. You'll just be able to go on the website, click it, and you'll be able to join in the celebration. Well, as we said earlier, we are focusing on Haiti, celebrating the first Black Republic, and we are delighted to have joining us for this conversation the Executive Director of Haitians United for Progress, a powerful organization that we're going to be chatting about in a minute, Elsie Saint-Louis, who is the Executive Director of that organization, whom I first met really through President Marcia Keyes, former President Marcia Keyes at your college, and she was telling me that she had this really dynamic, visionary woman who was helping to advise her about how to move York College forward. And she is exactly that, very visionary, very dynamic. We want to welcome to our Vantage Point audience, Elsie Saint-Louis. Welcome to Vantage Point. Hello, are you there? Oh, I thought we had her.
Look like we have to call her up again.
Right. We will be connecting with her momentarily. I thought we had her. After all of that great introduction, maybe she wanted to duck. She's a little shy, Ashley. But that's okay. I told her that this is a piece of cake, really. Just want to share some information about her work and talk about the Haitian Revolution. Many of our audience already know about it, but it never hurts to also actually continue to share that information about the Haitian Revolution, one of the greatest events in human history, the Haitian Revolution. So we hope to get her back in just a minute. But again, to reiterate, the Haiti Support Project was indeed founded 25 years ago, and we're going to be celebrating that on this coming Wednesday. I think we do now have Elsie Saint-Louis with us. Elsie, welcome to Vantage Point.
Thank you, Dr. Daniels. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I was saying you're a little shy. I said, we opened up, I gave you that blazing introduction, and then you ducked.
I am so sorry. We lost connection, but I'm happy to be back, and thank you for having me.
Right. Well, first and foremost, let's just begin by saying a little bit about you. I've known you for a while, but I've never had the privilege of interviewing you. So are you born in Queens in the People's Republic of New York, or did you migrate?
I'm born in the People's Republic of Haiti.
Okay, all right. And when did your family come to the U.S.?
I came to the U.S. when I was 13.
13 years old.
13. Yeah, I came here when I was about 14. When I was about 14, so I've been here since. I came here. I was born in Haiti. I was born in Gonaïves. And
Wow! No wonder you're so feisty. You're in the hotbed, Gonaïves, boy. That's the spot.
In the hot spot.
That's right. whenever anything in the revolt is going to take place, it tends to roll out of Gonaïves.
You got me. It's always there. We often they call Gonaïves the salt city of Haiti.
Right,
which is where
the
taste of the country is.
Right. So how long have you lived in Queens?
I lived in Queens from 1990. To about 2000. Actually, I reside in Nassau County. My entire life is in Queens because of Hope and my work at Hope and in my church at Sacred Heart. But I physically reside in Nassau County.
Right. Well, let's talk a bit about Hope because it's based in Queens, and people don't tend to think of, when we think about the Haitian community, most people think of the People's Republic of Brooklyn, but there is this formidable, formidable organization and a large Haitian community in Queens. So talk about why was the Haitian Americans United for Progress, why was it created?
Well, I believe Haitian American for Progress, the reason why people always think a lot of the Haitian world happens actually in Brooklyn as a fact. But there was so little done. There was so little done in Queens that I think maybe in 1970s and you had now Bishop DeSensorique, who was then a priest at Sacred Heart Church, who also had a large Haitian community budding there. There was a need for services for people who were just coming in, especially during the influx of the 1976 of people coming here. And a lot of them, not necessarily people who were highly educated or people who could fend for themselves. So I think under the leadership of Bishop Guy and a group of very concerned citizens who lived in Queens, they saw a need to do more to assist people, especially people who were coming in by boat, people who were coming in undocumented, some were documented, but either way, those people needed support. They needed housing, they needed translations, they needed accompaniment to immigration and to other social service access to school. So that group of concerned people put together and started this organization in 1976. The organization actually began at the basement of Sacred Heart Church in Cambria Heights, which has always been a very strong partner of Hope. And then they moved to that building that you've known on Linden Boulevard. And this has been at home for 1976 till 2000, although the building is still there. And we're still planning to return some programs to it. But Southeast Queens is such a diverse and interesting community, as you well know. So Hope has been able to find a home, to make its home there, make its mark there, serving beyond just the Haitian community. And over the years, Hope has evolved as the needs of the community evolved. We started first by serving people who are undocumented, service providing people with small jobs and matching people with jobs and going to immigration, doing translation, to starting after-school programs, doing ESL programs, and immigration services became one of our core services because we wanted to make sure we're making sure people were documented, were regulating their papers. So we're talking about now 45 years later. This is our 45th anniversary year. And
wow.
We have a social service agency with services from birth to grave, as we call it. So we have UPK, we have robust youth services, women health, domestic violence, very robust immigration program, translation services, adult education, and everything in between to make sure that we are serving the needs of people in the area, not just people who have just immigrated, but also services for established immigrants, people, and making sure people are finding their way into this new life, the American dream, and making sure we are not only preserving our culture, but also making sure we are giving access, helping people navigate through the system that's not their home. We are not just in Queens. We are also in Brooklyn. You have Hope in Brooklyn, who's now in Little Haiti, what they are calling the new Little Haiti. We right there on North Strand between Clarendon and Avenue D. We have an agency, a center there. We're on Jamaica in Queens Village. That's where, you know, of course, with the virus, we've had to set new rules and with the assistance of our programs. We are now in Jamaica. We are in Hollis. So we continue to proudly serve the community. It's about, you know, we are a larger agency. We've evolved into a full-service agency, of which we are very proud of, employing right. hundreds of people in the community and providing services for thousands, from children right. to seniors.
Well, one of the things I know is that it, I very quickly learned, is that particularly in terms of the Queens leadership, you know, whether it's Congressman Meeks from now Senator Comrie, everybody supports Hope. You know, it is one of those agencies that everybody obviously feels is providing very, very valuable services and Thank enjoys you. The tremendous support because of the
we
incredible
do.
Work
we do.
That,
we do.
That you
Our elected
that you,
officials from Brooklyn to Queens and to, you know, our Haitian caucus and even non-Haitian supporters, we've had really great relationship with our elected officials who always serve as ambassadors and supporters for us when we've needed. So we've in turn, I've kept our word, and, you know, we were, I think the agency was built on very strong values of service and integrity. And as much as possible, we keep those values and integrity and commitment to serve and to serve, you know, faithfully and to serve all the people who come to our door. And I think right. we've been fortunate to continue to hire men and women who are conscientious, who are fierce advocates for their clients and for the community. I mean, we've been able to do that because, you know, God continues to provide laborers that are just meet the mission of the agency, and we're able to serve that way. And now we right. have a very young agency because we have a lot of young professionals there and who are coming with the same zest, the same zeal, and the same eagerness to serve as the people who founded the agency. So in that area, we are very fortunate.
Right, right. Well, and by the way, I can remember in one, at least one occasion, one of my students that I did the internship program at mm-hmm. York College for many years, and one of my students actually came to intern with you, and it was an incredible experience and even a transformative experience, and helped her to center her life and direct her life, and that was very, very important. Contact information, the people who want to know more about Hope, how do they do it?
They can email me directly, or they could call the agency at 718-527-3776. Or they could email me directly. I love talking about Hope and getting people to match where they fit, their need, their love, and they need to serve fit most in whatever capacity. They can email me directly at E St. Louis, like the city of St. Louis, ESAINTLOUIS at HAUPINC.org.
Okay, let's have the phone number one more time, please.
718-527-3776.
3776. 718-527-3776. All right, we want to get that information out, and hopefully there's some people
you,
who
Dr.
will.
Daniel.
We'll take you up on that. Now, we also want to talk about one of the most important events that happens in the Haitian community is on January 1st. It is Haitian yes. Independence Day. Why is January 1st Haitian Independence Day?
Well, Haitian independence, we are the first Black republic to actually, in the Western Hemisphere, to abolish slavery. So since 1804, the first 2 days of the year has always been dedicated to commemorating that freedom for us and for the rest of the world. Mm. So January 1st is our stop and reflect and celebratory day, where we look back at all the amazing things we're able to accomplish being the first, and everything else that we have been going through, but some things cannot change. I mean, of course, you know, Haiti has had its struggle, but January 1st always rallies back to who we are, and we get our pride, and it's a day to reset. So January 1st, 1804, is Haiti Independence Day, and we have faithfully and strongly celebrated that on January 1st, 1804, and January 1st every day since then. So right. as the first, you know, I think we did this series at 217th year, and we are doing just the same. Haitians prepare for January 1st every January 1st, we're ready for the next January 1st. That's one of our strongest days that really brings the community worldwide together and also bring us together with the rest of the world as they help us celebrate.
So what happens on January 1st? Are there church services? Are there community celebrations? Is there special food? Is there special food that is prepared on Haitian Independence Day?
On Haitian Independence Day, everybody celebrates the faith that they serve. I know in Haiti, there's always been, when I was a child in Haiti, I remember being a national day where everybody's in church. That's it. There's a stadium, the presidents and all the officials are in the big cathedral, and every child is in church in the morning, and it's a family day. They have special foods in the morning. You know, everybody tries to have breakfast together. But there is the Haitian Soup Day that I'm sure everybody who knows us, who have had any relationship in Haiti, understand our national soup jumeau, which is our, people call it yellow soup. Some people call it capok, but I know it's our Haitian soup jumeau. I'm not a cook, so I'm not going to be able to give you any details about the soup, but every Haitian this is the national meal of the day. And now I see that it's gotten so culturally diverse that everybody's trying to make their own version of it, and everybody talks about it. But like, that's what we celebrate. That's just one piece. We celebrate our faith, whatever that is, community. We celebrate our independence. We rally back, understanding that we are free people, and we celebrate it gratefully with other communities. We share our culture. We see a lot of families get together on Haitian Day. It's a day. It's a real holiday. It's a day we stop, and that's what makes it so special.
Right. Well, I can remember attending some of the services and having spent quite a bit of time in the last 25 years interfacing with my Haitian American sisters and brothers. Some of the questions I'm answering, I know the answers too, but I just want to bring them out because I've heard about the Haitian soup and all of these different things that are so valuable. And of course, we with the Haiti Support Project for many, many years would on the second or third, in fact, we would dedicate the month, the Haitian Independence Month, and we would have big crowds at the Reverend Herbert Daughtry, the House of the Lord Church, would come together, African-Americans, Haitian-Americans. We'd have 300-400 people together, you know, to celebrate Haitian Independence Day, to also like get acquainted with each other's culturally. Let me move on now. You already talked about Haiti being the first Black Republic, which is what makes it very, very special. But just for our audience, would you just share some of the leaders of the Haitian Revolution, indeed, including one of the things I always like to stress is women played a role as well. And so I'm always wanting to uplift to make people know it was not just the men. There were women who played very instrumental roles in the Haitian Revolution as well. So could you share a little information about who some of the leaders were?
Well, this conversation is so broad, but, you know, when you talk about Haitian Revolution, people tend to talk about Toussaint Louverture. They talk about Jean-Jacques Dessalines. They talk about Henri-Christophe, Pétion. These people, you tend to hear a lot about the men, and they were amazing men who led the revolution. But women, now I really want to focus about that, being not an historian. And really particularly interested to talk about the role of women in Haitian Revolution, which is no different than the role of women in the world in every other capacity. The women usually are not mentioned, but they were in Haiti Revolution. The women also served in the army. The women served, they did. They served in the army as soldiers. They helped carry arms. They helped carry weapons. They served as nurses. They serve as protectors, like cooks, like everything in between. So the women may not have been talked about, but the women are the role of women in the Revolution of Haiti has been very prevalent from day one. So I know a lot of people talk about the men in the army. A lot of people didn't know there were women who were actually part of the army that also led the revolution. The women were very much into organizing, making sure by slaves, of course, you know, the role of women in slavery, women were raped, women were abused. But a lot of these women also organized to make sure that women were not giving work that were beyond their forces or their strength, that there were certain things that were dangerous. They started organizing, in which helped to even helping men not doing work that were too heavy or too risky for them. So women were very much all aspects of the revolution, though they spoke about it. I know we speak a lot about the women, Captain Flon, who sold the flag, of course. We have these other women they talk about, that Défilé La Folle, who was part of it. So there's very few women that are mentioned, but in truth, women was an intricate part of the battle as well.
Right. Okay. Well, we certainly wanted to get that out because, very often it's seen as a men's world only and a men's revolution only, and that was certainly not the case. But one of the names that I also have to mention that even doesn't get mentioned among the men, because people do know Toussaint, everybody kind of knows Toussaint, and Dessalines, probably those are the two who people most know, the others less so, Christophe and Pétion. But I always have to mention Buchmann, because to me, without Buchmann, the spiritual, cultural, but particularly the spiritual power that he was able to generate, particularly in Wakayama, and giving people that sense of being unconquerable, praying to the African God and saying, not understanding the white man's God, but giving people the courage to, despite knowing that there would be victory. So I always have to uplift Buchmann as well. I think that his role is often understated. So that's my own little peculiar contribution.
It was a prominent in the lifetime of the Haitian as a slave commander. He was a driver, and to his position, he was part of secret meeting. That he had a very intricate and interesting role in the Haitian Revolution. But when they talk about Buchmann, particularly when it comes to the spirituality and the spiritual side of the revolution. But there were a lot, don't forget, this is also, voodoo was also the culture. So there were also women who were priestess, voodoo priestess. They, a lot of the spirits, were women as well. So this is to say that in every piece of everything that was happening, there was also the presence of a woman.
Right.
So when we talk about, Haitians are very spiritual in very different aspects, as you well know, whether it's their faith in God or their faith in the spirits in voodoo, they are naturally very spiritual people. So nothing is done without that in the forefront.
Right. Well, I actually strongly believe that, and that's why I always mention that. Well, finally, we don't have a lot of time, but I know that you do travel back and forth to Haiti. Haiti is facing some challenges now. I wonder whether you would just sort of talk a little bit about some of the challenges that Haiti is facing now. Of course, obviously, we are always hopeful that there will be progress, but give us a sense of what some of the things that are happening now, that some of the challenges. There always seem to be challenges because of the long history of being marginalized and the interventions and the inability to let Haiti breathe. But there are also internal things that sometimes create challenges as well. So based on your most recent trip, what are some of the things that you see where help may be needed?
Well, one of the things that happened in Haiti, like you just mentioned, is that Haiti has not been left alone since their day of independence to kind of live as an independent country, because there's always a hand behind everything that is happening in Haiti. And every time Haiti tries to move one step forward, there's always some force to pull it back. And it's always like that the Haitians cannot manage themselves. The Haitians can very well manage themselves if they were left alone to do just that. There's always some force in implementing himself into our situation. And when you hear about Haiti from third world country, the poorest country in the hemisphere, and you sit in Haiti, and for you who visit Haiti, when you're in Haiti, you tend to go, where? How? Because the Haiti is so beautiful, it's so resilient, there's so many resources. The people in Haiti are so resourceful. There's so much there that when people talk about it, if you're only reading or hearing about it, you're going to think it's a country that's not really functioning. Haiti is a functioning country. Children are going to school, people are going to work, but has its challenges. Of course, its political challenges have always been an issue, because there's always another force inserting themselves into our election process. And there's always, that has always been a problem. But Haiti is facing challenges. I've had many challenges that were not of any fault of its own. You talk about, you know, the natural disasters being exactly where we are situated. That has always been, every time there's an effort, there's always a, there seems to be a lot of crisis happening in Haiti. And you talk about, it was 10 years up to the earthquake that happened in 2010. We're still trying to rebuild. And you know, there was a lot of misappropriation from that. There was a lot of abuse to the country because people used resources that were meant to Haiti for other means. Right now, Haiti is in between soon to go process again. They're having some internal political issue that's public. But the country itself has not lost what it is, its personality, its resilience, its independence, and all that it's meant to be. So, you know, we've had some issues with hunger, with poverty comes crime. We're also having a lot of crime happening in Haiti, but also because other countries, children that have been raised here, that have been for Haiti. When I was a child in Haiti, I never knew about gangs. And there's a lot of gang violence in Haiti now, but not because Haitians didn't even know about gangs. Well, we are repatriating a lot of adults and young people who are here, who've learned a lot of the vices here and are, you know, perpetrating in Haiti, that are teaching it in Haiti, that are coming back to Haiti with those vices, which are their only way of living. You understand what I mean? So yes. You have children, you have families who are in poverty. With that, people who are hungry, people who are tired, people who are marginalized and constantly abused are going to revolt. And so Haiti is trying to work through those challenges, repairing after the devastating earthquake. I'm dealing with a government that is unstable because it's had so many hands in how things are done in Haiti. And, of course, you know, there's a lot of, you know, there's the whole repatriation of people who have come in with a history of very heavy-duty crime that are going back to the country. So there's issues in Haiti that are happening in Haiti, that are issues that are happening in every other country. But that in is because it's a smaller country, the scale tends to be larger when you're talking about it. You tend to see it more, as opposed to that I'm here, something is happening in any kind of the world. There's no more crime in Haiti than there are in other parts. But Haiti tends to always be the one that is get blown out of proportion.
Right.
To Haiti. Now, I just came back from Haiti 2 weeks ago. I was there for a week. I was able to go about my business. I was able to go to my meetings. I was able to go see family. I was able to go to the beach. It's not, Haiti is not shut down the way people tend to want you to believe. Haiti is going to school. People are going to work. Restaurants are open. Nightclubs are open. They've done a well job managing the coronavirus. People are learning about it. There's not a lot. It's not, the fear of the virus is not as much there. So it's not like it's a country that has come to a sudden halt like people want to say. It is a country that is fully functioning. Is it functioning the way we want it to function? Can we do better? Should we do better? Absolutely. Can we be left alone to do that? Absolutely. But the pressure, the outside pressures, makes it a lot more difficult for Haiti to navigate its internal crisis because there are so many other forces influencing what's happening in Haiti.
Okay. Well, I certainly appreciate you sharing that with us. I can vouch for much of what you said. I can remember taking I remember one radio talk show host who went with me on a large delegation to Haiti, and we went to the La Citadel, and we met with people in Milo and had a great time, and we were exhausted, and then we drove down to the Kami Plage, down where near where the Royal Caribbean cruise ships land, and he was saying, "My God, I didn't know Haiti had beaches like this." I said, "Yes, Haiti has some of the most beautiful beaches and some of the most beautiful hotels, the way in which they are laid out anywhere in the world." Well, Elsie Saint-Louis, the executive director of Haitians United for Progress, I thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to share time with our audience today. Would you give the phone number one more time if people want to get in touch with Hope?
They can reach Hope at 718-527-3776.
Okay, well, we'll be back in touch. But I finally was able to get you on, and that's not an easy task. I had to.
Thank you so much, Dr. Daniel. It's been a pleasure connecting with you.
All right. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. 718-527-3776. And you can be in touch with, Elsie St. Louis directly. You can ask for her and find out ways in which you can be helpful. And it is a very, very powerful and influential organization and agency that she has been running. And she said 45 years now, 45 years. I wasn't really aware of the extension into Brooklyn and various other places. I'm more aware of the Queens component because of my work at York College and just interfacing with her. She has a really, really very dynamic staff. Well, we want to open the phones up now to our listening audience for our soapbox segment. First and foremost, I just again want to reiterate, well, let me just give you the phone number, 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. I guess a couple of things I wanted to talk about. One, anything that you wanted to, any questions or comments that you want to make about Haiti are certainly in order. But I also was just interested, this is Kwanzaa, the third night. The first night is Umoja, which is unity, and the second night, Kujichagulia. Third night today, or rather, is Ujima. Fourth one is Ujima, cooperative economics. Fifth is Nia, purpose. Sixth is Kuumba, creativity. And the seventh is Imani. And I'm just wondering, which of these principles do you believe is the most important? In the Nguzu Saba, because Kwanzaa is based on the Nguzu Saba, the 55th anniversary of the Nguzu Saba, as put forth by Dr. Mylana Karinga, one of the most brilliant minds African people have ever produced. Umoja, Kujichagulia, Ujima, Nia, Kuumba, Imani, which of these principles do you think is most important to Black people and people of African descent, and why? 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. The other thing is, you know, I mean, you're always free to comment on the First Black Republic, your thoughts about the First Black Republic. I happen to think that it was the inspiration for Emancipation Day as well. January 1st is Emancipation Day. I'll probably drop a little piece on the website about that, because really it was the fact of the Haitian Revolution, the greatest revolution in the history of humankind, which people heard about on the grapevine. In fact, Denmark Vesey in Charleston, South Carolina, he organized the most extensive rebellion ever. And he was on his way where? To Haiti. Why? Because it was a Black republic. It was free. It was independent. But it was marginalized, it was stigmatized, it was reinvaded, it was forced to pay over 100 million, tons of francs and reparations back to France, and really didn't finish paying that debt off until well into the 20th century. So Haiti has had a lot of difficulties. But again, I, you know, since 1995, we've been going to Haiti, doing lots of work there, and find it to be really just so beautiful in so many ways. The culture, the people, the resiliency, the struggle is so powerful. So you may want to just, you know, give a shout out about that if you have experienced it yourself. If you've been to Haiti, if you have ideas about that, you can call us at 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. If you call, you can get in instantly now, because we have some open lines for just about another 15 minutes, and short commentaries and comments are certainly welcome. Which of the principles of Kwanzaa do you believe is more important, most important, and why? 212-209-2877. And comments about Agent Orange are also, you know, who wants to put that in your mouth? But if you want to, you can comment on that as well. He is the Grinch who stole the people's unemployment checks. That's right. But it also talks about, this also shows why elections matter. I will continue to talk about the fact that elections matter, that there are differences, incremental but not inconsequential, between elected officials, between parties, and we need to examine those closely, even if they're not quote-unquote revolutionary choices. It matters that there are literally hundreds of thousands of people, if not millions, who are suffering, and one group of people are trying to get them more help, and others are resisting getting that help. I mean, that should be clear. You should be able to see that. And that means you have to make choices and help to struggle to make life better through the choices that you make in terms of your engagement or refusal to engage. Again, 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. We have open lines. This is the soapbox dimension of Vantage Point that we do every week, inviting our listeners to call to comment. I do give some parameters because I think it's better to do that. And the parameters I've sort of set for today, but maybe you don't find interesting enough, and maybe you don't want to comment on. But I just wanted to hear from you. You know, which of the principles of Kwanzaa do you think is most important and why? Umoja, unity, to strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, and nation and race. Kuja Chagalia, self-determination, to define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves instead of being defined, named, created, and spoken for by others. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. That's today's day. To build and maintain our communities together and make our sisters and brothers' problems our problems and to solve them together, which is why we should put a mask on so that our brothers and sisters' problems are our problem and we don't infect them because we may be asymptomatic, and that you don't infect the nurses or put them under strain. Very important principle. Ujamaa. Cooperative economics, to build and maintain our own stores, shops, and other businesses, and to profit from them together. NIA, purpose, to make our collective vocation the building and development of our communities in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. Kuumba, creativity, to do always as much as we can in the way that we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and beneficial than we inherited it. And finally, the principle of faith. Imani, to believe with all of our hearts in our people, our parents, our teachers, and our leaders, and the righteousness and victory of our struggle. That's why I uplifted Buchmann. We can't dare to not remember Buchmann when we are talking about the Haitian Revolution. It was the spiritual, I believe, power of Buchmann, particularly Voudoun. Or voodoo, and that's why people don't talk about it. Oh, they want to talk about voodoo. No, voodoo, which is a religion. It is not some mystical craziness. It is a religion just like Catholicism or Methodism or Buddhism and so forth. It is an African spiritual system, and it empowered African people, the revolutionaries, to be steeled and to utterly overwhelm the forces of Napoleon Bonaparte. And in that ceremony, I'm told, at Bwaka Ima, those more famous names, I'm told some of them were actually there. We now have some listeners, some callers calling in. Delighted that we have them calling. And so let's go to our listening audience. Good afternoon, Ujima, Collective Work and Responsibility. Welcome to Vantage Point.
Hello,
you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to know I'm calling the right number because I have some idea in regard of number one, the January 1st, the independence of Haiti, and then I have some idea about the Haitian flag, which is five months later, May, in the month of May. That was the 1st of May. The 1st of May was the
yeah. Well, the Haitian flag day typically is May 18th, right? It's a May 18th.
May 18th. May 18th. So I have some idea about those two, especially I'm focused right now in this May, how we can get that together. We can do it from the Flatbush taking the Republic of booking this. To me, that must be done. Get all those professionals in front, all those Haitian doctors, Haitian nurse, Haitian professional, get them in front, invite those politicians who's the boss of Brooklyn and things like that to see what we get, because seems to me the people don't know what we get. Every this we may, I think something like that should be done beginning from the Brooklyn Academy of School, go up to the park. Something like that, I believe every year should be done, and then to give a different type of idea about, because we enough professional in there. I myself, I am one of them, but that idea, maybe 7-8 years ago, I spoke with some doctors about DGMA. Let's do something in DGMA. Let's get the Haitian professional, professional together, you know, just like the Puerto Rican dog.
I got you. You know. Okay, let me suggest this, sir. If you would call 718-527-3776 and make your suggestion to HOPE, the Haitian Americans United for Progress, I'm sure they would be willing to entertain that idea. I do know that there are doctors that I know who have been organized. There are professional groups, you know, who are doing work around Haiti. But I'm sure that all of those groups, or many of them, are known to LC Saint-Louis and Haitians American United for Progress. So would you please call that number, 718-527-3776, and ask them and give them your idea, okay?
Okay,
all right, thank you very much. I need to move on to my next caller. Again, our number is 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Good afternoon, Ron. This is Brother John from Plainfield.
Yes.
And I hope you can give me some background about the reparations that Haiti had to pay to France. I was just wondering, what was the rationale? Who in Haiti approved it? And how does that serve as kind of a backdrop for the request for reparations from Africa and Africans in the diaspora?
Well, the key issue here, and you can obviously Google it and look it up. What happened was, the French sent an expedition, sent a fleet into the waters of Haiti, and even though, frankly, Jean-Jacques Dessalines had commissioned the building of a series of forts along, particularly the northern part of the country, this was executed really by Henri Christophe. Therefore, the citadel is the crown jewel of a series of fortresses that were built to deter the French from ever coming back. And when you go to the citadel, it is unbelievable. It's like they say the seven wonders of the world. I say this is the eighth wonder of the world. But unfortunately, and I don't know, remember the particular president at hand, but it was one who was more susceptible to being intimidated by the French, agreed to pay. And I was going to say 100 million, but I don't want to put the wrong figure out. It was an enormous amount of francs. In order to stave off the invasion, he was willing to agree that the enslavers, those who had colonized what was known as Saint-Domingue. It was really, I mean, incredibly wealthy, and all the wealth that was extracted from Saint-Domingue, as it often was called, ended up, and this was not unusual, by the way. The same thing happened with the British, though, but not at this level. And the impact on that was that Haiti was obviously economically harmed. It was economically crippled, in addition to, you know, the invasions that took place and all of various other things, having to pay this debt back. And so President Jean-Bertrand Aristide, you know, had the guts and the audacity to demand that France, repay. And this is still very much on the table. And it seems to me, and I certainly, Professor Sir Hilary Beckles, who's leading the CARICOM Reparations Commission, but is also the preeminent global spokesperson on this issue, has been enunciating that demand as well. And I think the fact that you have really many people of African descent, including Haitians in France, really begins to create a contradiction inside of some of these former colonial powers to put pressure on them, not only to fess up, because the confession in and of itself is irrelevant without action, so because this debt needs to be repaid, because it would mean enormous amount of the ability of Haiti to get back on its feet, and in fact to be able to establish a more sound economic base. That's sort of the short version of it. I mean, I'm sure if you go to Wikipedia and Google and all that, you can get all the details of it, but that's kind of a summary of it. Got to move on to our last caller, probably. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Yes, this is Mateen Muhammad.
Yes.
And, I represent with the Nation of Islam.
Yes.
And I'm calling to speak on Ron Karenga.
Excuse me. Mylana Karenga, not mm-hmm. Ron Karenga. No.
How you pronounce his name?
Mylana Karenga. He does not, and I only correct you because he doesn't like being called.
Forgive me about that. Okay, forgive me.
Go right ahead.
I'm calling in because I came up with something. What he did, basically, what I'm saying, what he did was excellent. But what I'm saying, I'm adding on to what he's doing. I'm trying to add on because due to the fact that I'm in the Nation of Islam, and this might be a little hard for a lot of our people, we teach that the black man is God. Every day is a day of celebration, a day of living in a righteous form and factor. So I came up with a term called allology. And this is the study of the original man on an everyday basis, starting from the seconds to the minutes to the hours to the day, because even though reparations are important in our life, the creativity of the universe and our life inside is based on the black man, woman, and child. That cannot be denied. And there's a lot of things going on now that's trying to take us away from that. So with Mr. Karenga coming forth with that, it's excellent. But we must have more than 7 days. We must not wait for the holidays. We must wake up, go to sleep, and in between with allology on our mind. Thank you.
All right. All right. Appreciate your addition. Again, next week we're going to reach out to have another guest talk, come and join us to talk about Haiti. But again, I want to just refer you to the IBW website, IBW21.org, IBW21.org. On this coming Wednesday, we will have a virtual celebration. It is called 25-year Reflecting on the 25th Anniversary of the Haiti Support Project. And it will be a virtual celebration. We'll literally be talking with some people who are going to call in from Haiti. We'll have some pictures and images, and by the way, some of them will be provided by Richard Mohammed, who is the current editor of the Final Call newspaper. He went on some of those delegations as well. So if you go to the IBW website right now, IBW21.org, IBW21.org, you will see the e-flyer And on this coming Wednesday, if you come back to the website, all you have to do is click on the link and you'll be into the program 1 o'clock to 2:30 p.m. on this coming Wednesday. Is when we're going to have it. I think that is Nia Day, if I recall correctly. So, again, we're in the middle of Kwanzaa. We thank you so much. Haitian independence is very much on our mind. Emancipation Day is coming up on January 1st, and Kwanzaa is very much here. So let's continue to practice the principles of the Nguzu Usaba. This is the Professor Dr. Ron Daniels saying, let's continue to remember all those principles, and we'll be back with you again here on Vantage Point, WBAI 99.5 FM next week.